We'll begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Let us direct the attention of our hearts to God's word of truth. In the Old Testament book of Haggai, chapter 2, we read verse 7 and 9. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. We could say that God has always had some kind of meeting place with people, which has changed drastically over the course of time. It used to be the Garden of Eden. Much later in Old Testament times, when the people grew, it became a tent called the tabernacle. Then followed the first temple, built by Solomon, destroyed, then rebuilt, namely the temple in this text, in which the most important space, I'll call it God's room, was off limits to people. In New Testament times, God's meeting place was briefly a manger of all things, then the cross of Christ, but not his grave. Personally for you, God's meeting place has involved a baptismal font, perhaps, in church, Sunday school, day school, devotion time like chapel, and many church services. The location and the format have changed, yes, but not the experience. One day we expect it to be like this, God staying with us constantly, permanently, perfectly. In the beginning, God used to meet with his perfect people in person. He would show up visibly in the Garden of Eden, talk out loud to Adam and Eve, and they were more than okay with that. This was their blessed interaction with God, after all. Until we know the sad but true story, how the fall into sin has ruined a direct in-person interaction with God. It's not possible in this life, not without deadly consequences to all who have the sinful flesh. As the Bible makes clear, no one can see God and live. But God did not give up on a plan to be with us. In mercy, he reached out and set up a different kind of meeting based on his plan of salvation, with Jesus in the very middle of it. To help us keep a good perspective on this, let's consider the opposite. What kind of meeting would it be if we had to face God alone? If we had to meet the Creator minus the Christ, one-on-one with him, based only on who we are in our sin, what we have to offer in our sin? Well, that kind of meeting would have to be a courtroom trial, wouldn't it? With the holy God acting as the righteous judge who condemns us justly in our sin. Well, let's bring Jesus to the meeting then. We get someone who's better than a top-notch defense attorney. He's the one who takes the guilt away, absorbing and removing the condemnation. On that basis, we get to connect with the Holy God as the Heavenly Father, forgiving us through his Son, adopting us into his family. On that basis, we can experience Emmanuel in many locations. God with us in Christ. Today, tomorrow, beyond. with a fairly fresh memory of what happened in church this weekend, think about a worship service in this way. We meet God at His house, where He sets the agenda. He does most of the talking through His Word. We learn to listen and respond in ways that He shapes. It's called a divine service because God is serving us. Like having dinner at His house, He puts the food on the table and we consume. He does the giving and we receive. We especially receive the forgiveness of sins. As the sturdy foundation of a very lopsided relationship. I say lopsided because we're talking about grace, mercy, hope, peace. The text mentions peace in verse 9. In this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Can we think of at least two times when peace pops up in the church service on a Sunday? What does the pastor say after the sermon is concluded? It comes from Philippians. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. New King James Translation. Where do you hear that again? In the benediction. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. This peace from God essentially is the forgiveness of sins, which will act like glue to keep you stuck in place with the Lord. God invites you to claim His peace as a completely reliable, one-size-fits-all, safe space for your soul. Having His safe space for your soul is so important when handling spiritual threats, like a troubled conscience, or the onset of doubt, or a crisis, or a tragic loss in your life. In such times of turmoil, God will bring you back to the cross of Christ to assure you that He's at peace with you. When He's at peace with you, He's more than on your side. He's at your side, taking on your problems, doing battle with your enemies, bringing you real comfort into your heart and life, even though you can't see Him do it. Someday, though, someday, God has told us in Revelation, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." We have come full circle. Garden of Eden, paradise in eternity. The final permanent meeting will involve us as people in perfect condition, body and soul, in a place where we see Jesus all the time. We meet God face to face. Consider it the original perfect state of Emmanuel. God with us forever. Amen. We close our worship this morning with hymn 2, stanzas 1 and 2, the first two stanzas of hymn 2.